I'm thankful to be here this morning, and our prayer is that the Lord would help us today. I feel very inadequate of myself, but I also don't want to ever lose that feeling. The moment that we begin to feel as if we're self-sufficient, we got it figured out, we've got some bruises and some knocks coming along when we get to that place. And my prayer this morning is that the Lord would open our hearts and our minds, and we're not interested this morning in just putting some scriptures together, but we're heavily dependent on the Lord to open our mouth and to inspire our hearts. I'm not a person that rehearses everything I'm going to say. Just never found that works for me, but instead I seek the Lord for the scriptures that He has, and then I leave a lot of it up to Him. And that makes us fully dependent on Him, because then we're waiting for the Lord to deliver the word and the inspiration. I do know that the Lord has stirred my heart over this past week or so, and you feel that moving and the sensitivity, and there's a tenderness and a desire to be in the Spirit of the Lord, and I felt that this week, so I have a high expectation that the Lord will meet the needs of our heart today. I'd like to start in Proverbs in the 25th chapter. And a little proverb here starts in the 11th verse, is a word fitly spoken. And fitly in this place means in season. It means in the right time. And I don't know about you, but I've been places where someone said something to me and the timing was really wrong, and was not in a position to receive that. And I've also times said things that later on I realized that that really wasn't the right time for that. And then maybe in my zeal or my desire, got ahead of myself a little bit. And we've all been in that place. But a word that's spoken in the right moment and in the right time, it has this apples of gold and pictures of silver. It really means like a monument. It's like it's apples of gold, literally as if something that has been presented, something of beauty. And I can think back over my time when there has been counsel or word given to me that has made a difference and an impression in my life that is of great value. And I can recall those moments and I can feel the impact that did. And sometimes the Lord uses people, sometimes it's in a message, sometimes it's in our own personal meditation before the Lord, but the Lord knows the right time to bring His word and His counsel. And our job is that we have a seeking heart and a desire to receive that word fitly spoken. And it goes on here to say that as an earring of gold, an ornament of fine gold, something that adorns, that has a beauty and a grace to it, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. And I lay that foundation this morning because I feel that we want to have a heart that's seeking for the Lord to bring the counsel and the word, and we want to have an obedient ear to that counsel and to that word. And in order to be in that position, we have to humble ourselves. We have to recognize that we have a need and that I really don't have everything just all figured out. I don't have all the answers. I know what my experience is, and I have places that I can tell you without a doubt that the Lord was there and that He proved Himself, and those scriptures where the Lord has proved Himself become very real. They become an ornament to our spirit and to our life that you couldn't pry them from my hands. The reality and the experience that we have when that counsel is given, when the Lord speaks to us and we respond to it, creates an experience that I'll take to my grave that you couldn't convince me otherwise. And I believe that the Lord wants us to have that kind of experience with Him. He wants us to be able to have a relationship where I know who He is, that I know the sound of His voice, and I know what happens when I respond to His word and to His counsel. There's not a question in my mind. When I feel the Lord moving, I don't wonder if the Lord is faithful or if it will have its benefit or it will work as it should, but I have assurance because the Lord's proven Himself through different situations down through the years. And I also believe that this experience is one that it builds on itself over time. If I'm gonna, if I meet someone for the first time and they tell me something, I'm gonna take it with a grain of salt. But over time, there becomes an experience that I have an assurance and I begin to understand. And when it comes to the things of the Lord, and there's a couple perspectives to this that I thought about, in that some of us were born and raised in what we call the truth. Born and raised, and what that means is that all of our life we've heard the truth and we've heard message after message, and there's a lot of counsel and knowledge that has passed over our head or that we've heard in our ear. But there's a difference between hearing all of that flow of knowledge and good counsel and having received that and it having an impact in our life. And then there are others that don't have that privilege, that they may have not lived, and I say privilege, and I believe it is a privilege, but it does not put me in really in any better position. You have to understand what I'm saying here, because we have to come to the place where I am able to receive the counsel from the Lord for me, where I have a revelation of who He is. And some people come from a different background, and maybe they haven't, but they're able to receive and begin to trust in that word and take that step of faith, and their experience is just as real and just as true as the Lord brings them on and proves Himself time and time again. And experience is the best teacher in that way. We do get encouragement from what the Lord has done for other people around us, for sure. We have examples and demonstrations, and the Scripture tells us that those are encouragement to us. They're things that we want to mark and want to follow. It's what the Scripture tells us. But there is still something beyond that. I cannot just follow the counsel that someone else has for their life if I'm not able to receive it in my own heart and put it into practice. I need it for myself. I need to understand it. Otherwise, I follow a form or a fashion that someone else has. I need something that is mine. I need to know what the voice of the Lord is and what He intends. So I want to have a seeking and obedient ear to His voice to be able to understand that. I'll just as a side note, I thought about that wisdom and the counsel that we hear in different places. And the account of Lazarus and the rich man came to mind. And I would ask you in that day, if you met these two men, I'd ask you which one would be the best one to listen to. In our measurement, in the world's measurement, I say our, and I use that term loosely, but in general, if that rich man were to stand up and to give a presentation, I think everyone would listen. They would view that as he has wisdom. Look at what he's accomplished in life. Look at his status. Look at what he has around him. And in that, there must be things that are good for me to hear from his counsel and what he has to say. We see it today. People pay money to go listen to the successful people tell us how they are successful. Because I want to do like they do and have what they have. And it's a natural human reaction. But who would go listen to the beggar that has the dog licking his sores? Or do we count him as a wise man, as one that we would take counsel from? Not typically. That's not the dreams and the ambition that we have. And yet we find the end account of these two men is very different. One of them found something that God did for him in his life that far surpassed. They would have traded places in a moment. The wisdom of God and the counsel of God is not the same as the wisdom and the counsel of men. It's why we're so dependent on the Spirit of the Lord to bring His truth into our heart and to have an obedient listening ear. If we listen to counsel that is not based on His Word, if we listen to instruction or lend our ear, and some of us have jobs and business, and there are things that I can take from that are valuable. There are experiences and other, I can read books that people have done, and they can be valuable to run a business. But at the end of the day, the counsel that is there, I have to understand, is not what is going to affect my soul and lend to my happiness, the peace, and the final reward that we want to have with the Lord. I want to set at preeminence the counsel that the Lord brings to our heart and those things as to value those higher. There are most definitely times that those thoughts and those counsels are at odds with each other. What would be common sense even, or what the world would say, this is what we ought to do, or even a collection of people could say, this makes a lot of sense, and we should just head in this direction. I need something more than that. I need to know what it is. I want his wisdom and his knowledge to be something that I wrap my heart around and say, this is what I can build my life on. I think about when Jesus brought the Sermon on the Mount, there was he took the law and he took it a step further. He fulfilled it. And I think about their position that they were in, and I want to read this account of the ruler here in the Matthew in the 19th chapter. There was a sense in their part, and I think about, we'll just read this and we'll continue on here. 19th chapter of Matthew, then the 16th verse, it says, "And behold, one came and said to him, 'Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" I find it interesting that this man was looking for a deed that he could do. He said, "What good thing can I do?" And if you listen to his experience, it was based on he was following everything that he had been taught. He had been taught a lot of the commandment. And that's where the Lord directed him at first. That was definitely the first thing he said to him is follow the commandment. Well, I've done those things. Those things that I've been taught that I know are good counsel, I've followed those. I believe that he felt in his mind that he had accomplished something and had done pretty well. And I don't know, we can read a lot into this story in terms of his perspective on himself, but he asked, "What can I do to be saved?" There was obviously a desire and an interest and a seeking in him to find something more than just that he had followed a law or a direction. And that's where my heart is. I don't want to just follow a direction or just a law. I want to know what it is the Lord wants from me. What is his requirement? What is his desire in my life? I believe without a doubt that the Lord has a purpose for each and every one of us that is unique to us. He has a revelation that is ours, that is mine, where I can see who the Lord is. I appreciate your testimony, and I appreciate your experience and when someone asks you who Jesus is and what it means to live for him, I love that testimony, but that's not mine. I can't live my life on your testimony. And this man, he said that he asked him, "What shall I do to be saved, or may I have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said unto him, "Which? Which commandments? Which ones are you speaking about specifically?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up, yet what lack do I have?" I've been good, so to speak. I've done these things that you're saying. But what do I lack then? What is it that is still separating me from really knowing who the Lord is? Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." And it says here that when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And I know the Lord goes on to talk about a rich man here, and he talks about it being something of natural goods. And I believe that is part of this message for sure, is that if our faith is in our own capability, we're going to have a hard time putting our dependency on the Lord. We're going to lean to our own measures and our own ability to take care of ourselves, and we don't have faith in the Lord to meet the needs of our life because we can just meet them ourselves. And we're a rich society, and that is certainly a danger that we face. But there was a call that the Lord put on his life to essentially put his dependency on the Lord, to say, "All that come and follow me." This was the call for this man, and I believe that the Lord has inspired this different times to my heart, that it wasn't just the goods, but there's things that I have found that have made myself comfortable, that I just rely on those for my sustainment. And there's times the Lord has told me to lay those things aside, to follow after him, to make my dependency upon him. Take, and I thought of this in another way. In one place he says, take up your cross and follow me. There's a closeness that comes with the Lord when we decide that I'm going to pursue and listen to his voice, whatever that call might be. And in this place, it's sad that he went away sorrowful because he had a seeking heart. I love that about him. He came to the Lord seeking something. But when the Lord spoke that perfect word, which I do believe was in season, I think about this man's life, all that he had done, and the time came for the moment for the counsel to come from the Lord, and he wouldn't receive it. He went away sorrowful. He lowered his head and he went back, and the scripture doesn't tell us. Maybe he came back and followed through on that. I don't know the answer to that. I only know that when the counsel came, that burdens my heart. Lord, I want to be ready to receive the answer, even if it's not the one that I want. Because that's what he was, I think part of it was he was looking for validation that I have kept all these things. So I think he thought he's going to tell him, good job, you've done great, just keep doing what you're doing. But instead, the Lord saw his need, and he called him a little further, and at that, he got sorrowful. Lord, help me. I don't want to have a preconceived notion. This is all the Lord wants from me, and I'm perfectly where I ought to be, and it's just, I've just got everything figured out. And then we start to ask the Lord, and all of a sudden, he starts dealing with us, and, oh, wait a minute. I'm lowering my head. I don't want to hear this. I'm sorrowful now, because now I've got something that the Lord has begun to work on. But the key was, I believe with all my heart that the Lord wants us to have that seeking desire where we are, Lord, what is it? I want to continue to follow after you in every aspect. I want to read another account here, John, and in the 6th chapter. And there's a whole message in this chapter, but I'll move around a little bit. But in the 66th verse, the Lord had just presented himself as his blood and his flesh being the measure that was needed. And understanding the situation that they were in and under the old covenant and trying to come to grips with Jesus being that sacrifice and the atonement of his blood and eating of his flesh. And there was a paradigm and a shift in their thinking that had to happen in order to receive this. But in the 66th verse, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And that tells me that even we think about it, that if Jesus is here walking in person, we would for sure embrace everything that he had to say. For sure, we would just give our hearts to it. And we say it sometimes. We talk about, well, if there were miracles and things, then we would for sure follow after that. Jesus did those things. And he referenced that in the beginning of this. He talked about the bread that filled their belly and they weren't hungry anymore, and that's why they were following him. But there began to become something deeper, and these were disciples. These were people who had an interest and a desire to follow, and yet it became hard for them to be able to accept. And I think about putting myself in that situation and thinking, Lord, in this day, in 2024, I want to follow you to the point that when you begin to teach those things that are something that changes sometimes the shift in my mind, I want to be able to receive it. I want your word to be able to speak to my heart. I want to be able to follow you all the way through, whatever it is you call of me. And if you read on down here, that's what he asked Simon Peter, and when Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Will you also leave me like those have, that this became a hard saying? And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This revelation that Peter had is what equipped him to be able to take whatever word the Lord gave him and follow it all the way through. I have to believe he is who he says he is. I have to believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And when we do diligently seek him, there are going to be times that I'm going to have to deal with the things that the Lord is wanting to work with in my life. And if I don't have a revelation of who he is and who I am in the sight of him, then I'm going to get sorrowful and turn. But if I see him in his love and his compassion, there's a mystery to this that the world cannot see. man's wisdom and our wisdom tells us that we want to put everything in a certain way, and then we have a comfort in the way that we organize things. But the Lord has a desire that when we lay down of ourselves and we follow after His word, there is a richness of life that you cannot see until you've been through that experience. There becomes something that is real, that now I have something living in me that transforms us from an old path to a new path. Because I know, and it's hidden from the wise, from the prudent. The world cannot see it. So when we come to those places of consecration, or even when the Lord begins to counsel us, Lord, help my heart to be open, and that my revelation of who You are, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, where would I go except to receive the counsel that You have for me? It's why it's so critical that we have a founded relationship with the Lord, where we can hear His voice and understand that communication in our heart. It doesn't mean that I say, well, the Lord never showed me that, or I never heard that. There's good counsel in following the things that maybe I don't understand always. I believe that. But I need to be able to have a communion with the Lord and a testimony and a relationship where I have found that He has begun to say, Ken, this is something that I need. This is where your heart is, and I need you to shift your affection, or I need you to lay these things down and follow me, or I need you to no longer think in this term as they did in this place, but to see me in this view, in this light. In this, I have that growth. I have that knowledge and the understanding and the relationship. It grows and gets deeper. Peter had this experience. He still struggled until the Lord rose again, until he had the power of the Spirit. But this revelation, another place he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this unto you. It's not men. It's not, and we hear testimonies and they're beautiful, but it is the Lord that comes in and reveals Himself to us in a way that I can say, yes, Lord. When the counsel comes, I can say, yes, Lord. I can do that because of what You've done in my heart and the relationship that we have and how You've proven Yourself time again. And where else would I go except to receive these words of everlasting life? So I lay that for us to understand that we want to have a seeking heart that is open to the Lord, and that the so we were talking about people sitting in the same places. We are creatures of routine, and we do things the same way all the time. It's just normal. And that, help us, Lord, because I don't live around all of you, so this is not like I've sat here and thought, oh, I need to tell people in Guthrie this. It's nothing like that. But when we do things the same way all the time, we get into just a rut of just continuing, and just we do things steadily in one direction. And the Lord sometimes has to come and disrupt that to get us to begin to move and to respond to His voice. I want to continue to grow in my relationship with Him. And I don't. I remember I had an uncle that he knew, who knew who the Lord was. He's gone on now. And he was living to his own devices. And I think the Lord was dealing with him at different times. And then he went through a heart attack in some really tough places. And he made the comment to us one day. He says, you know, I wish the Lord would have just tapped me on the shoulder. He didn't have to hit me over the head. And then he said, well, I probably wasn't paying attention to the taps on my shoulder. And that's what happens, is that we go through it. Sometimes the Lord has to bring things that causes us to stop and say, wait a minute, where am I? What am I doing? Where is my thought? Am I awake, or am I just continuing to do the things that I've always done? Or is my heart seeking with an ear open, Lord, what is the counsel that You have for me? What is the direction? What are the things that You want to deal with in my life? If I'm not uncomfortable, I'm scared. I'm telling you that, because until I die, we've got a battle on our hand, and I need to know where that battle is. And I need to be able to hear the voice of the Lord that guides us and encourages us and leads us in those places. We're responsible for it. And I don't want to be like the rich young ruler that comes to the Lord just waiting for the pat on the head that says, good job, Ken, you're a great dude, just go back on about your business. I don't want that sweet, just sweet sound all the time. I'm dependent. I cannot see myself. You understand, I cannot look myself in the mirror and understand all the things that I need to do to get myself to heaven. I'm so reliant on Him to have mercy on me and speak to my heart and say, Ken, there's things here we need to work on, and I have to have an obedient, willing ear to listen to that counsel. I think about when we're young. I won't say that. That'll embarrass him. When we're young and we have teenagers, they've got everything figured out often. They know all the answers. They know all. They'll tell you, I've got it all figured out, and I don't need that, and I don't need this, and this is all set. And you see it, and we've been through it too, so we can't really pick on them. And we go through, and pretty soon we start realizing what we don't know. It's a sign of maturity in our relationship with the Lord to realize our dependency on Him and that I don't know everything. That, Lord, I need Your direction in my life. I don't want to just go foolhardy that I've just got, and this is how I think, and this must be how it is. There's convictions, and I'm not telling you to question your convictions, but I want to have a relationship with the Lord that causes us to be stirred and moved and dependent upon His voice to hear what He wants to work in our life. I think of the scripture that says the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. I know you've all been there. I know I'm not by myself. That you're seeking the Lord and you're dealing with a situation and you're trying to get all the answers. And I've had times the Lord's come along and I've heard like David, Thou art the man. That scripture comes in and it begins to penetrate, and we see ourselves in the light of that. We have to be willing to see it. We're so busy praying for everybody else to fix their attitude and to change what they do. And, you know, if they would just be a little easier, this would be. And the Lord comes down and He begins to deal with my attitude and my thought process. And the Word begins to address us in a way that I'm going to have to be willing to say, okay, Lord, what do You want from me? And that's the only part that we can affect, is what our relationship with the Lord and what He's going to work in our life. We can pray the Lord will have impact and influence and move people, but it's me that I have control over in listening to that voice. So when the Lord brings that word and He begins to penetrate and I find myself getting uncomfortable, I've got a decision to make. Am I going to listen to that counsel? Am I going to respond to that word? Or am I going to justify myself? That's really where it's at. Am I just going to decide that, you know, I'm justified in how I feel and where I stand. I'm justified in the attitude or the judgment I've made or whatever it might be. Lord is good at that. He's good at opening those doors up when we open our heart to Him. I think about the scripture that says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. No one likes a spanking. No one likes to be corrected. Very few people. I've met very few people that like to be corrected. Normally, we pretty much figure we've got it figured out. But there is something, the end of this verse says, nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Exercised thereby. It means when the Lord has brought that correction and that chastisement, and I have responded to that. We talk about exercise. I need to exercise more. Create muscles. It has an effect. And there is a workout, maybe you can call it that, some of you young people. There is a discipline that I can get into to listen and respond and exercise the counsel that the Lord brings in our meditation through His messages, through the way the Lord works in our heart, that if I'll learn to have a discipline to exercise that, it has a result in our life. It has a peace and a fruit that begins to change. You can see the result, so to speak. You can see that this 10-day challenge, or that whatever it takes for you to start on that path, to begin to exercise and seek that counsel, you'll find that your life starts to have the joy of the Spirit, the peace, the effects of Him working in our life. Situations become not so much about what I think and what I think other people ought to do, and they begin to be a little bit more about what the Lord has been able to do for us in those places. I have another scripture to read, and this, I hope that the Lord has brought this as a encouragement to us this morning. And I hope you don't feel like there's condemnation, anything that I have to say. But it is a warning for us. It's something for us to take into account and say, Lord, I want you to search my heart and help me to know if my ear is inclined unto your voice. And I want to be awake. There's a script, there's a church here, the church in Laodicea in Revelations in the third chapter. And in the 17th verse, he says, because thou sayest. And this is a warning to me. Because thou sayest. I do not want to have a presence of mind that I look at the Lord and I say, I say, this is where I'm at. Thou sayest. They had a belief and an assurance in and of themselves that they were rich and they had all that they needed. It's dangerous to be in that place. Thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods. I'm in a great place. I have everything. But yet, his view was quite different. And have need of nothing, and knowest not. Knowest, it means that I want to have the knowledge of what the Lord's expectation is in my life, and I'm not going to have that unless I seek after him. I'm not going to have that unless there is a hunger and a desire to draw after him and say, Lord, work in my life those things that you see, that you want to minister. And he goes on here, he says, I counsel. He says, knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? And then he said, I counsel. And in my thought process, as I felt the Lord inspired this to me, I thought, what a difference between thou sayest and I counsel. When you begin to deal with the situation, we often start with the side of saying, thou sayest, or we say. Have you ever wanted to deal with something and your first impression is to give your side of where you stand? It's total human nature. That if I'm dealing with something, I'm going to start with my justification of why I think and feel and the way that I am in this moment. It helps if you have children. It's if they have an argument, that there'll be one for sure that wants to set the table, that this is how it is. Thou sayest. But we want to have an ear open to when he says, I counsel. This is what I want. I want to talk less and listen more to what the Lord has to say in my life. I'm thankful for the things that he's done, and we praise him. And there is a worship that we have to the Lord, but there's a time to listen and to stop talking in a sense and say, Lord, I need to receive. What do you have to say unto me? Because his counsel was something that was much different. I counsel thee to buy something of me. Buy. Now the gift of salvation is free, is it not? For sure. But he told the rich young ruler to sell what he had and come and follow me. There's a responsibility that I have now to begin to buy. And he tells us, come and buy. We don't have anything of ourselves. Come and buy without money. Don't get my message wrong this morning. But there is a sacrifice and a submission we make to the Lord that I'm willing to go through some difficult things to find gold that is threatened. Now I have something of value. It's not just things that I've heard. It's not just instruction that I've heard all my life if I've been blessed to have been in service after service. But now there is a reality in my life with the Lord, and it comes through the fire. That is where we find the valuable things in our relationship with. That's where he proves himself. They were faithful. I appreciate the three Hebrew children are faithful to what they had been taught. They obeyed and they followed that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong in that. But there came a time when they had to be true to what the Lord had told them, and then he revealed himself through the fire. There was something that they found. And do you think that after that experience you could have convinced them that they should have done anything different? That reaping, that the Lord sows that, and then there is a fruit. Chastisement, he says, it yieldeth something. There is something when the Lord brings counsel, it brings a result that is tangible. There are things that we carry to eternity. I am for sure this morning that when we get to heaven, the testimonies and the things that we tell each other will be about the times we went through the fire. That's why they cast their crowns before him and cried, "Holy, holy." It wasn't because we were so self-determined, or we had our teeth gritted, or we had such intelligence, or that my mom and dad were this. And so it was because the Lord did something for me, because I found gold in the fire. And now this is why I'm here, and I want to give back. All the things that the Lord, you only find that as you have a seeking heart that is willing to listen and exercise and respond to the counsel that the Lord brings to our heart. Even when it means I've got to start making some changes. Even when it means I've got to change my mindset. Even when it means that I've got to look at people differently than I used to. Oh, there's lots of, we use the word prejudice. We have our mindset and our perspective. We need the Lord to work in those places and get us to see things in His light. He says then, "I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich." Now this is the real riches. Riches far beyond what the young ruler had. Riches beyond what the rich man had that Lazarus ate from the... This is the wisdom of God that brings true riches. The things that really matter in this life. That have a value that's beyond just these days, but for all eternity. White raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve that thou mayest see. I want to see. Do you know that in those visions and those things that the Lord brings, so I have a tendency, I'll just tell you about myself, that when I'm dealing with something stressful and I don't have the answer, I bury my head in the sand. It's just me. Deal with stuff at work and stress, I don't want to look at it. I set it to the side often. I don't want to go through it. I don't want to see it because I don't know what the answer, and sometimes I'm scared of how bad it is. Or I just don't want to deal with that situation, and I set it aside. But do you know it's still there? It still has to be dealt with. And I've learned, at least in business, that stress is greatly reduced when you at least address something and have knowledge of it. And that's just a side point. But there's a sight that the Lord gives us that when I know there are some places, it's easy to just set those aside, but the Lord wants to give us an eye solve that we can see and have an understanding and a knowledge of how the Lord, He gives us the counsel for it. That's the beauty of it. Doesn't expect us to figure it all out. But He comes with His Spirit and He brings an inspiration of understanding. Okay, Lord, it's usually through humility. It's usually through meekness. It's usually by submitting ourselves to the Lord and instead of submitting everybody else. I find it interesting that when I read the Sermon on the Mount, that there are things in there that are personal between ourselves and the Lord, but a lot of that deals with our interaction one with another. A lot of it is about that. Because there can be a tendency in us that me and the Lord can get along just fine. And we can get along just fine over here as long as all of you people just leave me alone. I won't have any problems at all. It's normal. I'm not, my feathers aren't ruffled. I'm not bothered. Me and Jesus are happy over here and we just go along in one accord with no problems at all. But that's not reality. And where we truly get tested and where the fires come is typically through our interaction one with another. When I have to go the extra mile, when I have to turn the other cheek, when I have to pray for those that despitefully use me and submit that counsel that comes from that. What did He say? A man that does these teachings of mine has listened, has heard, his ear has been inclined to my counsel. And is exercised thereby, his house will be firm in the storm. It won't fall when the winds come and the trial. There's something stable to stand on in the counsel of God and in His direction that will hold us and carry us. And a lot of times those are things that when we're dealing with other people. The Lord gave me this verse and I'll share it with you at the end of this message. James, and in the 5th chapter, I asked the Lord how it fit. So, and then Brother Ivan said it a little while ago. He said, "Well, the Lord prepares a meal and there's things for me and there's things for other people. So if this is for you, I trust the Lord will bless it to your heart." It ties into this message, but it takes us in a very specific direction. And here in the 5th chapter of James and in the 7th verse, It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. And I've really felt the Lord inspired that to me, that there is a counsel and a direction that he's given, that there is a patience that we have to be willing to wait for that counsel to have its proper effect. He says the early and the latter rain. I'm not a farmer, a lot of you are, but from my understanding of this, there is a rain at the seed time and a rain at the harvest. And that would what would bring this to full fruition. And there is a waiting period when we're faithful to the Lord's counsel. We're an immediate society. We want instant gratification, and I'm right there with everybody else. And we get counsel, and then we do this counsel, and then we're expecting great things to happen overnight, immediately. The Lord told me to handle it like this, and I went and handled it, and look, they're the same way as they ever were. I'm still dealing with it like I always did. They're still persecuted, and you told that I've tried to follow your counsel, but the Lord is saying, be patient, therefore, and the Lord is patient for the fruit that he has sown to harvest it. And we want to be right there along with him, being just patient and waiting, as long as he needs us to, and to continue following in the counsel and the direction that he's given us. He says, be also patient and establish your hearts. My heart is set. Lord, I'm going to follow your direction, your counsel. Whether I see the immediate, I'm going to trust that your counsel is right, that it is just, that it will have its perfect work. I'm going to establish my heart, which means my passion and my desire and my interest are going to stay focused on the things that the Lord has inspired to us. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And this part of this ninth verse says, grudge not one against another. And I'll tell you, the Lord has put that on my heart for a couple of weeks for this morning. I felt that over and over, that there be a carefulness about us in our dealings one with another, that we grudge not. And as I've meditated on this, it says the judge standeth at the door. Lord, help me. Search my heart. I do not want there to be... All right, I'm going to be real for a moment. If I ask you for just a moment, think of anybody in the world you don't like or you don't want to talk to. You don't have to say any names. The Lord challenges me with this, because if that person is saved, what am I going to do when I get to eternity? Am I going to avoid them forever? Walk on the other side? Lord, we've got some business to do sometimes in this life, and this is the counsel that the Lord gives us. In one place it says, leave your gift at the altar if you know your brother has ought with you, and go make right, and then come back and pick it up again. Lord, if there's something that I have held, if there's some place I know, this is the counsel that the Lord gives us. It says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. So my heart wants to be open to the Lord. Lord, help me to see as you see, as much as I can handle. I'm not really interested in the Lord revealing me in all its entirety as he sees me. I think I'd be discouraged. Lord, as much as I can handle, I want to know. My heart, it wants to be in a place of seeking for the knowledge and the counsel of the Lord. And then I want to be ready to answer and to respond to that counsel, to put it into practice. And then to be patient for that fruit to have its work. And you know, there's things in my life I know the Lord is dealing with that I feel the Lord's giving me direction. And I'll put that into practice, and I'm still fighting those battles. It did not just make the battle completely go away. But I have a belief and I have a trust in the Lord that as I continue to follow his direction, that will have its perfect work. It'll have its effect. I just want to encourage you this morning in the Lord is that you seek after him and respond to his voice, and most definitely grudge not one against another. Pray for me.